Hello, hello. You are listening to the Aligned Birth Podcast. You've got two hosts, Dr. Shannon, Doula Rachel. We're chatting about birthy stuff. And today's episode is unveiling the key pregnancy hormones from conception to labor. This is not going to be, I don't want it to be too much of like an anatomy lesson or some sort of science lesson. Like it's not like obviously we're going to go through the hormones, but what I want and the goal with this is I want us to kind of honor our hormones. I feel like sometimes with women and having your cycle and I don't know, I'm 41, you know, Rachel is similar in age to me. So I feel like we've lived our whole reproductive lives with this, mentality around hormones that can be like, screw you hormones, you're messing everything up and you're making me crazy and just all of those things. And it's like a negative connotation with it. And maybe if we come at it and understanding what our hormones do, understanding that it's not, well, they're trying to do their job. Sometimes they get a little cuckoo with their jobs, but what can we do, you know, obviously to support them to do their job better, but that it is all intricately connected and designed and made to flow so well. And maybe we can honor our hormones a bit. So we're going to go through some key pregnancy hormones. We're not going to talk about every hormone. And then we've talked about some of these before. Then we're going to go into some of the, there's an overlap, but some of the hormones of labor as well. And maybe this helps you understand a little bit about what's going on with your body and you can embrace the hormones. Let's hug our hormones. Welcome today, Rachel.
Welcome to the Aligned Birth Podcast. I'm Dr. Shannon, a prenatal chiropractor.
And I'm Rachel, a birth doula and childbirth educator. Together, we're here to bring you conversations about pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. From cesarean to VBAC, hospital to home births, we've experienced it all. We are high school friends who reconnected through our shared passion for health and birth. As moms to two young boys, we've both changed careers after our own transformative childbirth experiences.
Join us as we discuss the importance of a healthy body and mind throughout pregnancy, birth, and into motherhood. Our goal is to provide fun, interesting, and helpful conversations and interviews that inspire learning. When your body, mind, and intuition are aligned, you can conquer anything.
Sit back and relax, or grab a notebook and take some notes, or maybe listen as you enjoy a walk. However you choose to listen, we hope you enjoy this episode of the Aligned Birth Podcast. Before we get into the episode today, if you enjoy the content of this podcast, we would greatly appreciate your support in one of three ways. First, leave us a review or give us a 5-star rating. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and make a bigger impact. Second, you can sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll be the first to receive new episodes and exclusive bonus resources straight to your inbox each week. Lastly, you can become a direct listener supporter. Running this podcast requires significant time, effort, and resources. Your contribution, no matter the amount, helps us continue providing valuable content to a wider audience. Simply use the links in the show notes to make your donation, sign up for our newsletter, or leave us a review. Every contribution matters and is sincerely appreciated. If the Aligned Birth Podcast is a part of your weekly routine and you love what we are doing, please consider supporting us through one of these three options. Your support will create a ripple effect, allowing us to reach more listeners and make a lasting difference. Hi, Dr. Shannon. Thank you for that amazing intro. We're going to hug our hormones.
We're going to hug our hormones.
Yeah. And I just, to be fully transparent, like I did not learn about most of these hormones and how my cycle worked until we were planning our first child. And I read Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which if you haven't read it, it's amazing. If you have daughters, if you are preconception, any point along your journey, this book is highly enlightening. And so understanding your hormones, I think as a woman who has cycles, you have all these hormones and they do play on us in ways that impact our emotional state, our physical state, like energy levels, emotional levels. Like, no one is crazy. No one is hysterical. And there are like ways things are portrayed in movies and ways things are portrayed in comedy shows or whatever that use kind of those to make things seem funny. And we can all laugh. It's okay to laugh and be like, yeah, when I'm at this part in my cycle, I am not my best self always. But we shouldn't like have shame around that. If we can be honest about how we're feeling based on our hormones, and when you understand your hormone cycle, you can be like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is why I'm more tired than usual.
This is why I have more energy. It makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to be so hard. And then we live
are not on that 24-hour cycle. Sorry.
That's exactly what I was about to say, is that we live in a world for the most part that's on this 24-hour cycle where everything sort of restarts, where you go to school every day or you go to work every day, or you have these like similar obligations that are just on the calendar. So you kind of have to show up. And, you know, men have a 24-hour cycle.
They are resetting
their hormones every 24 hours, and it's the same throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So they get more of a consistent level. Whereas women, we are on like a 28-ish day cycle where our hormones are rotating in 28 days, not in 24 hours, but we live in a 24-hour world. Mm-hmm. So again, when you can acknowledge that, honor that, like you started us out with, then we can hopefully be more at ease as we're going through these cycles. And when we're more aware, we're just more empowered, and we can maybe make our calendars reflect things that are more conducive.
I do want to do a whole episode on like that aspect of things.
Yeah.
Because I have a blog post that I want to write to, like cyclical planning and all of that. Because today,
I love that
we're not
conversation.
Talking necessarily about the cycle. Now pregnancy throws in some other fun hormones.
No.
And it gets crazy. But I do want to revisit that, because that's not something I've done until lately. Like, why is it taking me so long to realize this cyclical planning?
Right.
And honoring it more and hugging your hormones more.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So we're just kind of, again, planting that seed today. We'll continue the conversation probably in another episode about how to kind of build your routines around your hormones and learn more. But we're just wanting to light that little fire in you, like a little spark of curiosity, and just teach you a little something about your hormones today. And then if you are pregnant, learning about how the hormones, very briefly, we're going to talk about the kind of orchestration of hormones during labor. It's complex. Mm-hmm. We highly encourage childbirth education. We've got another episode 60, where we talk about the hormones of labor as well. Shall we get
Here
into
we
it?
Have. Let's get into it. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. What's our first one?
So we have relaxin. Relaxin originates in the corpus luteum and the placenta. Relaxin is aptly named for its role in relaxing the uterine muscles and the ligaments, facilitating the expansion of the uterus to accommodate the growing fetus. Cool. Beyond its uterine effects, relaxin also softens and loosens the pelvic ligaments, preparing the birth canal for delivery. So we're getting more space and more mobility in all of our joints and ligaments and muscles.
Joints and ligaments, yes.
Yep. And then this hormone also plays a role in facilitating implantation and promoting blood vessel dilation, essential for adequate blood flow to the developing fetus. So relaxin is a part of the process of pregnancy and birth from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about relaxin in the, like when we're teaching childbirth education, we talk about it in a way so they can understand how they might be feeling and experiencing pregnancy, because it can create some discomfort like pubic symphysis. Mm-hmm. Dysfunction, because there sometimes if you get too much length and space between your ligaments and your bones and your muscles and stuff, if they smooth out too much, it can cause some discomfort. So just being aware of how your body's working.
There can be some misalignments as well too. And so there's more, yes, you have more fluidity to some of the joints, but you also have, so you do need it though. So remember that, like, it's necessary and it's there. And it's actually, I feel like it's there all the time. It's just different levels. And a lot of women will have different levels of it too. Cause I remember reading some research papers as far as like a history of having a lot of meniscus injuries in soccer players, but relating that to the levels of relaxin that they have in their body. So everybody has different levels as well too. So just kind of, you know that. But that pubic symphysis, it's not a joint that normally, so it's like that anterior part of the pelvis, like right at that pubic bone. It's not a joint that normally like gets a lot of attention or moves a lot. But in pregnancy, it really does need to expand. So that's where relaxin is going to come in and help. However, we just need to make sure that it's moving and expanding in an aligned state, you know?
Or it's got extra stability or support. So if you're experiencing that in your body, you know, going to see a chiropractor, you know, considering your options to support your body as it's growing and changing. So that's relaxin. The next one is the HCG. So that's the human chorionic gonadotropin. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Gonadotropin.
Put that on your shirt.
I usually refer.
You got to watch the YouTube video so you can see Rachel's shirt because it's got all these
hormones on it. I'm wearing my
hormone
shirt, but it doesn't have gonadotropin.
Sorry,
so this one is known as the pregnancy hormone. HCG is produced by the placenta following implantation of the embryo in the uterine lining. So this is like early, early on. This is like actually the hormone that's measured to determine if you're pregnant or not.
If you're pregnant.
And then those rising levels are confirmation of pregnancy. So HCG serves as a vital marker in early pregnancy tests and helps maintain the corpus luteum, which in turn produces progesterone to support the uterine lining and pregnancy. So you really need your progesterone pumping during this time. And HCG is communicating with that, saying, let's thicken up this lining. And that's what it does in those 8 to 11 weeks is it rises rapidly in early pregnancy, peaking around 8 to 11 weeks before gradually declining as the placenta assumes the role of hormone production. So that's super cool to know about HCG.
It is.
And then we have estrogen. So a lot of people have heard about estrogen, but do you know how it works and where it comes from? So it's produced primarily by the ovaries during pregnancy. Estrogen levels soar, surpassing pre-pregnancy levels by several folds. Estrogen plays multifaceted roles in pregnancy, including stimulating uterine growth, which is important, promoting fetal development, also very important, and maintaining blood flow to the placenta, all very important things that estrogen supports. Additionally, it contributes to breast development and preparation for lactation, for breastfeeding, and helps regulate other pregnancy hormones such as progesterone, which we've mentioned a couple times, and we do cover that more down the line.
And estrogen is one of those that's it's always around and it's part of your regular cycle. So like, that's fun to think of, like you've got these other ones that are coming in and making themselves known that are not necessarily part of your regular like menstrual cycle. But I think it's good to maybe backtrack a minute, like what is a hormone so that people kind of understand, okay, these are, they're just little chemical messengers in the body. And so they travel in the bloodstream, they go to tissues and organs, and they're produced by specific like endocrine glands. So and they communicate. So they're little communicators in the body. So just kind of remember that as well. So then there's other things that are signaling and communicating. So it's just this beautiful system in the body of like, oh, this is communicating here to produce this. And this is coming around. And when that's produced, it'll come here and produce this. So anywho, it's really fun.
Yeah. And a lot of the hormones that are players during your menstrual cycle are players during pregnancy and birth, which is super cool. And then, like you said, you add in a couple other hormones
and
that are
specific.
Others
take a back seat and other ones come up. Exactly.
Yeah. So again, we think learning about this just helps you feel more empowered about the whole experience. And see, I like the, like a beautiful orchestration, like a symphony of hormones at play, all working to protect you and your baby and help things grow and be healthy and strong, and also signal to the body if something is not right, which is also cool. So the next hormone, which is on the top of my shirt here and always top of mind for me, is oxytocin. I actually have, I don't know, can you see that?
Oh yeah. Get the tattoo of it.
Yeah. Got the tattoo of the oxytocin molecule on my arm. So I kind of have a thing with oxytocin. So it's referred to as
love.
The love hormone. Love hormone. And you release oxytocin during your menstrual cycle, during intercourse, during moments of happiness and love and joy, and a lot during labor. It's also referred to as the bonding hormone. So when you look at your baby, make eye contact to your baby, smell your baby, you release oxytocin. Super cool. It's instrumental in various stages of pregnancy and birth, just like I just said. And during pregnancy, oxytocin promotes uterine contractions. That's one of the big players. And a lot of people know that, that fact right there.
And when you have uterine contractions, which come from oxytocin, that aids in cervical dilation and the progress of labor. So we need oxytocin to be flowing for labor to progress. Oxytocin also fosters emotional bonding between the mother and the baby. It enhances maternal instincts and facilitates breastfeeding by promoting milk ejection and letdown. So that's cool.
It's a huge one. It's a huge one. And that's where, because this is where the word Pitocin comes from, right? Because it's the synthetic aspect of oxytocin for, if you're hearing about like being induced or having to have a Pitocin, you know, into your labor system. So that's where part of those words come from too.
Well, yeah, because it's the synthetic form and they're medically starting labor because you mm-hmm. need your uterus to be contracting. Mm-hmm. But the mm-hmm. thing, the biggest difference with Pitocin, well, there's lots, but mm-hmm. oxytocin is produced in the brain mm-hmm. and actually increases your pain threshold, whereas Pitocin doesn't come from the brain. It's a mm-mm. synthetic drug.
It's synthetic.
So mm-hmm. it's harder to cope with Pitocin contractions versus oxytocin contractions because your brain
isn't missing that feedback loop, right?
The feedback. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the connection there. I know, but mm-hmm. it's good to know that. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one is progesterone, dubbed the hormone of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Progesterone is predominantly produced by the corpus luteum early in pregnancy and later by the placenta. Progesterone plays a pivotal role in maintaining the uterine lining, preventing contractions that could lead to premature labor and supporting fetal development. And it also regulates the immune response to prevent the mother's body from rejecting the developing fetus as a foreign entity. So personal story for me about progesterone that helped me have my second baby is we were having a hard time conceiving. Had super easy time with number one. Number two, I had a miscarriage and then took like 15 months after that to conceive. And it was determined I had really low levels of progesterone once I became pregnant. And thankfully, due to medicine and technology or science and research, you can just do progesterone suppositories that mimic the same thing and help build up that lining of the uterus so that the pregnancy holds when mm-hmm. it's there. And that, again, I hadn't really fully understood that until I had to go through that experience of like how that hormone
right.
really plays
what's
a big role.
What's going on. Mm-hmm. And what, yeah. And I always yeah. think of it, the baby is just bathed in progesterone. Like, I don't know. That's how I've mm-hmm. always envisioned it as far as that hormone and its role in pregnancy. It just hangs out in a bunch
yeah,
of progesterone.
Yeah, I mean, it hits all aspects. And that's why it's, you know, it's really known as the main hormone of pregnancy. We then have prolactin, often associated with lactation, and is secreted by the anterior pituitary gland and plays a crucial role in preparing the mother's breasts for milk production. So during pregnancy, prolactin levels rise, promoting the growth and development of mammary glands in preparation for breastfeeding. Additionally, prolactin suppresses ovulation, providing a natural contraceptive effective during breastfeeding. And that is
not always
foolproof. I know we're both like,
not always. I have so many.
That is, it can prevent ovulation, but it yes. doesn't prevent pregnancy like always. Cause you can, uh-huh. whenever that first ovulation happens, if you're not having protected sex, like that first ovulation could be the time you get pregnant. And that is when it happens sometimes unexpectedly for those who are breastfeeding and think that they're, you know, not mm-hmm. ovulating yet, but it's always good. Cause when you don't know when that first ovulation is going to come. Mm-hmm. And also fun fact of nighttime feedings, like from the breastfeeding at night will help protect your supply long term as well as delay ovulation longer.
Mm. That's fascinating because those are like the hardest feedings.
Yeah.
You know,
and those are the ones people tend to want to drop.
And those are the ones that they want to drop, but they're key and crucial to.
Yeah.
Maintaining that supply. And it makes sense because I remember too when the kiddos would sleep through the night that first night or however old they were, I don't even remember. I remember waking up and being like, oh my god, like, you know, like they're kind of like breasts are like hard as a rock. And I was right. like, oh, I feel great because I got so much sleep, but I'm like, oh my god, I need to nurse this child. Like
right, your mammary glands
when you
are communicating
go a little bit longer yeah
to you uh-huh. that yeah like you missed a like everyone slept but also it's time to feed the baby.
Oh my, feed the baby. That's hilarious.
Yay,
feed the baby. yeah. And So yeah, so the hormones of labor, so some of these hormones come into play when labor is beginning. So as labor approaches, like a complex interplay of hormones orchestrates, my favorite little word surrounding this, the onset, progression, and completion of childbirth. So from like labor beginning, so like when you talk about hormones being little communicators, that reminded me of something I like to talk about with prostaglandins. So prostaglandins are released in your...
Because I almost, when we did prolactin, I was like, oh yeah, prostaglandins. I was like, that's a different word, but we need to talk about it. So yes. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, and so when the baby's lungs are fully developed, it signals to the body to release the prostaglandins. And prostaglandins settle in your cervical mucus and begin the process of softening the cervix. And the cervix needs to soften, thin, dilate, which is open, and then get out of the way. And then the baby has to come down and out. So it has to be soft and thin for it to really dilate. And a lot of us focus on the dilation being like the measurement of labor progress, but there's so much else at play in the very, very beginning. You don't even feel it happening, but it's the softening of the cervix. And that's from prostaglandins, a little communicator in your body, but it comes from your baby signaling that they're fully developed. And so when we talk about due dates, I like to kind of highlight that the baby signals when they're ready and that it's a range between, for most pregnancies, 38 to 42 weeks. Most babies will be born. 42 weeks is the healthy range of normal for most people. Of course, individual circumstances, and you got to talk to your provider and all of that if that's good for you. But just knowing what's normal, and that baby will send the signal that it's not like 40 weeks and like, okay, it's time for baby to be born, but the baby says, I'm fully developed. Then those prostaglandins are released, and then your cervix starts softening, and that begins the process. So I love to share that fact about, and then there's oxytocin. So this is often regarded as the primary hormone of labor. It stimulates rhythmic uterine contractions, driving the process of labor and facilitating the expulsion of the baby. So oxytocin, we talked about it a moment ago, but something I like to touch on when it comes to labor is, if we know it's the love hormone and the bonding hormone, what we want to do is set ourselves up to support the oxytocin so that oxytocin can flow freely. And oxytocin and cortisol, which is the stress hormone, can't really flow at the same time. And cortisol can slow or stop labor. And if we want, we know we need to build up oxytocin stores on our uterus so that we can have good, long, strong contractions. And we need to increase our pain threshold as things are increasing. So you need oxytocin to flow. So for early labor, doing things that facilitate safety, love, connection, bonding, comfort, all of this is going to help facilitate the flow of oxytocin. I mean, it could be watching a funny movie. Like if you're laughing real hard at a funny movie, you're releasing oxytocin. If you are cuddled up with your spouse or partner, like that releases oxytocin. So does having intercourse. Like it does, but it doesn't always have to be having intercourse. It could be self-pleasure. It can be getting a massage. That's going to release oxytocin too. So thinking about all the things that can like facilitate oxytocin so that you build up as many stores on your uterus as possible so that when things really kick in, your body's kind of primed and ready. And trying to keep cortisol levels at bay, especially in early labor. So if, you know, setting yourself up so that the stressors and the fear and all of that are as managed and mitigated as possible. Of course, you're going to still feel them at times. But this is where we talk about the birth cave, you know, really setting up your space to be that private, quiet, comfortable, often dimly lit space is going to also reduce cortisol.
Right.
Which allows oxytocin to flow.
To do what it's supposed to do.
And, and another key player are your endorphins. So endorphins are your natural painkillers. So as your, as the intensity of labor increases, so do your endorphins. So this is when we talk to people and they're like, how am I going to handle like transition, which when we talk about transition, like it's the hardest part of labor. It's the most intense. And if you've watched any videos or anyone give birth, you see how intense it gets. And if you've never been through that and you're sitting here pregnant, you're like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Endorphins. They're your natural painkillers, as well as oxytocin, right? Oxytocin's raising your pain threshold. And then endorphins are helping you just not feel the pain in the same way as if you didn't have. Like if you just exactly. walked into labor at 9 centimeters
with no hormones, there.
Mm-hmm. Without that building, it's like hitting a brick wall. It could be, which that's not how it happens. I mean, but this is why if you hear about someone having like a really precipitous labor, they go like first contraction to baby in under 3 hours, that feels really intense. Really intense uh-huh. because your mm-hmm. body just, you're hanging onto that fast train versus like riding along it.
Yes.
So, but endorphins are definitely your friend. If you've ever like with working out, exercise, doing something mm-hmm. super fun, like a roller coaster, you know, that high, that quick hit you get after that exercise or good run, or that's an endorphin. And that's what kind of keeps us coming back to it. So know that you have that alongside you in labor. And so conversely, the stress hormones, like cortisol and adrenaline. So that's your fight or flight hormones versus mm-hmm. your rest and digest hormones. Those are helpful at certain points in labor. But like I mentioned already, if we have too high of cortisol levels, too high of stress in early labor, it's going to slow or stall labor. But then yes. at the end of labor, it serves you. And all throughout, it is keeping you, you know, a healthy level of cortisol is keeping you alert and attuned to things happening in a protective way. And then at the end of birth, it helps get the baby out. It helps you. You have a huge burst of adrenaline at the end of birth that actually helps you deliver your baby, because then you're at a point of no return. You need to get baby here. And so it mm-hmm. serves. And we don't have to be scared of it. Just knowing how it works is
exactly. I love that you said that, like not being scared of it, but knowing too, I think it's nice to know that like your body and this whole system here, it's like so beautifully and wonderfully and intricately made and designed this way. So it's also, mm-hmm. okay, what can you do to support those things? So yes, like mitigating mm-hmm. stress and understanding that, and not just being like, okay, I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be stressed because
then that stresses you out.
Then that stresses you out. So it's not coming at it from that, but really understanding, okay, I know that stress is going to impact this. So maybe you look at, okay, how can I increase oxytocin? Because maybe then mm-hmm. that can counteract it. Okay. You know, like what are the things that bring me peace and joy rather than coming at it from the like, okay, how can I, you know, reduce stress and those type of things?
But yeah, because that just causes stress and then you're on a cycle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So learning how to support the hormones, support oxytocin, mm-hmm. understand how it works so that you can have the type of labor that you want, regardless of what you choose, and not fight it.
So I do. Okay. So I want to say this, because you even said how to support healthy hormones. So few things to think of. And sometimes we've had episodes on, some we haven't. So there's the aspect of sleep. Sleep is when your body does most of its healing. So that's when you're getting good quality sleep. I know this is tough in pregnancy. When you're doing the best that you can and prioritizing it as best you can, that can impact hormones and hormone function. And then it's also movement. You know, obviously we talked about the endorphins, but moving the body, moving well can impact that overall health and wellness. It's looking at the food that you're eating and nutrition. I know it's hard in pregnancy. Like I craved Chips Ahoy, like cookies, like I, you know, I ate a lot of mac and cheese, like I craved certain things. So I know in pregnancy, sometimes it's hard with that, mm-hmm. but for the most part, looking at how you are feeding your body as well, because that is what makes the cells and tissues and organs in your body and the hormones in your body. It's made out of the food that you eat and what you're able to digest and process and then reassemble into those parts and pieces as well too. So when you look at like, okay, I can also make sure that I'm eating well so that then you have that proper function of the hormones, proper function of the body. And then other ways of like coming at it from having knowledge and support. So taking childbirth education classes, looking into doula support too, because that can help you feel safe. That can give you some of the knowledge, that can give you some other tools that can help those hormones, the ones that we want to flow freely as well. And then I also have to just look at chiropractic care in the aspect of nervous system function, because again, too, these hormones are chemical messengers, mostly, you know, you've got those neuroendocrine systems. So from this pituitary gland in the brain, and that's a very intricate design and feedback loop of where the hormones are coming from, where they're going. And then that messenger sending that signal back up to say, okay, now we have too much, we have enough. And then it's that constant loop. So making sure that that neuroendocrine system is working well. So looking and making sure that your nervous system is functioning well too. So it's not out of your control per se in how to impact the hormones in your body. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Lots of great tips for how to support yourself along this journey and beyond. I did want to add three resources, and we'll put them in the show notes, but they're people or books to add for learning more about hormones. So there's Lily Nichols. She's all about like food and nutrition and supporting your body through pregnancy.
She just has a new book that came out.
Yes.
This is Real Food for Infertility, right? Because she has Real Food for Pregnancy. Which
and
I know,
Real
I think
Food
she,
for Gestational Diabetes. Just,
I thought that's what the one, Real Food for Pregnancy, or maybe
it
I'm
is,
thinking
I think
a
it's Real
title.
Food for Fertility or Infertility, okay, I'm not
infertility.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't remember which
one.
But
Lily
yeah,
Nichols, like
one.
If you just,
in general.
Even like finding her on podcast or going to her website, I think she has classes. Mm-hmm. She's just a great resource for supporting like your body in this way with nutrition. Cause I think that's super, you touched on that. And I wanted to add that as a resource as well as, Aviva Ram. So she has a book
so
called
Hormone.
I'm
so glad you're mentioning this cause I wrote it down. I put it on my little post-it. It's my middle one. I did. I was like, hey, I talk about this.
This book is on my side table. I'm a big fan of Aviva Ram because she has a book called Hormone Intelligence. So that's tremendously helpful for understanding the complexity of your hormones. But also she's just a great resource for supporting your body holistically, your hormones holistically, preconceptive, or if you're not even trying, and then preconceptive during pregnancy and postpartum, wealth of knowledge. She's an MD and a midwife put together. It's like chef's kiss. She's just a great balance for information. And then I had one more. Oh, is it the first 40 days?
You had Taking Charge of Fertility.
Taking Charge of Your Fertility is a great book for learning about your hormones. So we can do that. And then the first 40 days is about supporting your body nutritionally in the postpartum. So I think full range options for people to kind of keep learning about how to support their body and hormones through these stages.
Definitely. No, those are all so good. We have a story. Again, I did an interview with Caitlin Wimberly. I don't know when it's going to come out, but she's a prenatal postpartum fitness guru. She happens to be one of my patients. I'm very excited that she came on the show because I got to be with her during her most recent pregnancy. And what's funny with that in the story that she told, which I don't really remember this because when we were talking before the show and going through our outline, she goes, she had a history of PCOS and she was being, it was being managed with birth control. And so when she came in to get under care, we talked about maybe that was not the best thing. And could there be some other ways? And so she was looking at wanting to come off birth control. Her OB was like super open to it and a wonderful, wonderful resource for her. And then she borrowed the book Hormone Intelligence and then she got pregnant. She wasn't necessarily trying to get pregnant with this third baby, but she was like, yeah, you got me pregnant that last one between Hormone Intelligence. So it was Aviva Ram and so I just thought that was so funny. So there's that too.
That's
so
hilarious.
Keep that in mind. But
and amazing.
I thought that was so amazing though. Like, look at you, like taking charge of your health.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Yeah. The more you know, the more babies you have. Wait, no.
Exactly. I know. I had someone else just start up. She's in her 40s and it's like she does not want more children. But she's like, when we went through her scans and we were looking at how her organ systems are functioning and stuff, she's like, wait, this isn't going to make me get pregnant, is it? And I was like, I mean, I can't say. I was like, you have a responsibility. But you have a responsibility to like.
I cannot.
It's not my fault.
Predict or control this.
You need to. I was like, you just need to make sure you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah. Anywho. That's hilarious.
I thought that was funny. So, okay.
That's awesome. So we will link all of these resources in our show notes. Be sure to join us next time as we explore more fascinating aspects of pregnancy and childbirth on the Aligned Birth Podcast.
Thank you for joining us on the Aligned Birth Podcast. We hope you found our discussions informative, inspiring, and enjoyable. Remember, when your body, mind, and intuition are aligned, you have the power to overcome any challenge that comes your way. We appreciate your support and leaving a review or rating, signing up for our newsletter, or becoming a direct listener supporter. Your contribution helps us continue delivering valuable content and reaching more listeners like yourself. Stay connected with us through our newsletter to receive the latest episodes and bonuses straight to your inbox each week. You can also connect with us on Instagram at aligned_birth. All links can be found in the show notes. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of the birthing individuals and new moms. Thank you for being a part of our community. We look forward to sharing more empowering conversations on the Aligned Birth Podcast. Until next time.